Has hell frozen over? Auburn and Alabama actually agreeing on something? Welcome in. Welcome into the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. And next to me today is everyone's favorite realtor by day, favorite podcaster by night. Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, is in the house tonight. Graham will be back hopefully soon. He is wrapping up his stint at camp, but hopefully he will be back on a regular schedule soon. But, Kyle, Auburn and Alabama have agreed on something, and I don't know how to feel about it because in my lifetime, they've never agreed on anything.
And I don't even need to read what it is. I hate it already. It's just shouldn't happen. Should never. If Alabama goes one way, Auburn needs to go the other. This is unacceptable.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, we're rivals. Then rivals rarely agree on anything at all. The fact that this is a thing is kind of surprising to me. But what we're referring to is the Save College Sports Act. There has been an article put out today that both Auburn and Alabama, the universities, the both presidents of the universities, have come out opposing the Save College Sports Act. Why that
protect
is
protect college sports act.
Protect college sports act. Yeah, protect college sports act. 100%. That's right. Why I'm not in government.
Not only the presidents, but the both presidents of the university and both presidents of the board of trustees. So it's like the double whammy. Yeah. So you got the money and the school. I just don't like that.
No, and it's interesting too, because normally anything that Nick Saban does, Alabama will absolutely roll up the red carpet. Yeah, he's going to walk this way. We're going to walk right behind him. Let's do it. For some reason, that is not the case. And the same goes with Auburn, because Tuberville is behind Saban on this, and they disagree too. So it's weird. It's kind of, they're seeing something that they're not, and both parties are just not agreeing in this case. But both Auburn and Alabama are like, no, we're not okay with this at all. And we don't know why. We honestly don't know why. There were some bullet points put out, you know, in terms of, you know, undermining implementation, and enforcement of the rules established under the House settlement, allow new litigation, undercutting efforts to create uniformity and consistency in rulemaking. One thing we did talk about was the media rights. How everything would be an even field with the media rights. I know that could be, with at least for SEC schools, it's like, no bueno. We don't want the Big Ten to have the same media rights as the SEC or the Big 12 and the ACC, which, who's watching the ACC? Nobody. You know, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
So whenever something comes out like this, I try to figure out the angle. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, it's money. Okay. That's what it feels like to me, because and I think you kind of circle that media rights pooling. I don't know all of the details of that and like the math behind all of it. But anytime you talk about pooling, it sounds like you're just going to redistribute, like everything's going to go into one pot and then redistribute somehow, whether it's equally or proportionally. I don't know. But when you have two leagues, the SEC and the Big Ten, that dominate the rest of college football, and they have negotiated their own TV deals, it does sound like potentially those schools could be losers in this, from at least that aspect of it. So it's got to be money, right? Like it's money.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you pull on the red thread, that's where mostly that's what's at the end is money. But I agree with you. I think it's got to be money. There's no other way around it. I'm sure something will be done where they'll come out, who knows, tomorrow, next week, being like, hey, you know what? We're for it. And something probably happened on the table that we don't know about or couldn't see. So who knows? It's just weird to me, though. It's just this whole, like, whenever I heard this on the radio coming home from 4th of July festivities, it's like, yeah, Auburn, Alabama are agreeing. I'm like, what? Pardon?
Yeah.
You said what? What do you mean? I don't know, man. It's just odd to me. But
what's more surprising to you? Auburn sort of having a stance in opposition of something that
you know, Tommy Tuberville is a part of, or mm-hmm. Alabama seemingly being against something that Nick Saban has his fingerprints on.
I would say Saban. I would say the Alabama versus Saban.
Anything. They don't do anything that he doesn't rubber stamp, I feel like.
Yeah, and he's all for this, and they're like, nope. Nope, 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 nope. So I don't know. It's something's up. I don't know what. There's a reason why I'm not in government work, because I don't really know the details of what's going on. But
I'll say this too. Yeah. And I don't want to get super political on anything, mm-hmm. but right. usually when the government gets involved, things don't necessarily work out very well.
Correct.
I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Usually when you allow the government in, it doesn't always work out in your favor. So could this be a kind of just say, hey, let us handle it ourselves. Let's find our own way. I don't really know why the government feels the need that they need to get involved here either. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's some of it. They just don't trust having, you know,
government hands on this situation.
Yeah. 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 When billions of dollars are on the line.
Right. Yo. Yeah. Yeah. That's what, like, and me and Graham have talked about this before too, with like in regards to just regulating NIL. I feel like the government will have to step in some form there on that side of it. But as far as, something's got to change, because it.
Let's talk about what you just said just there, and let's talk about what that statement means. The mm-hmm. government needs to get involved to regulate NIL. Tell me what does that look like? What does any regulation? What does any regulation look like?
Like if I were in charge,
yeah.
Like if I were like the guy,
or just any idea, like what does that look like?
I think, and some people, I'm sure, you know. Everyone's going to agree with me on this. I'm just so sure. I feel like with the athletes and the deals they get, it should be capped at least $1 million. I don't think they should get paid above $1 million. I think someone getting $5 million for practically with the way the transfer portal works, which I know they're going to try to change that too in the coming years, but getting a player for $5 million and you don't even sniff a championship just for them to turn around and leave is kind of absurd to me. I don't know. That's just me.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. A player should not make over $1 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do players get paid? They get paid two ways. So you're essentially saying a salary cap.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. Now, here's the problem with a salary cap. There mm-hmm. is one. On Rev Share, there is a salary cap. In the NFL, there's a salary cap. In most mm-hmm. in most pro sports, there's a salary cap on the check that you get from the company.
Right.
Okay. What you do outside of that is totally uncapped.
Right. Right.
So the NIL piece is no different than Tom Brady having $100 million advertising deals with Gillette and with, you know, Nike or Under Armour. He was with Under Armour. Like those things are over and above what you get from your salary, which is capped. So how do you tell someone who can go out in the free market and go get $5 million in NIL, how do you tell them, no, you can't do that? That's where we're going to have a real problem. Like, and it's almost, I'm not sure how any regulation fixes that, because it's, again, it's advertising, it's sponsor deals over and above. Now, could you crack down more on how those are assembled, like collectives and things like that? Sure, but I just don't know that you can just say a kid can't make over $1 million. I don't know that you can say that legally.
Well, I mean, like, I meant like in terms of the school, not outside of the deals that they make. Well,
that's the big issue though. It's not so much the rev share. Like, the rev share is not – that's easy. Like, that part mm-hmm. has handled itself. It's the, you know, the clearinghouse and everything over and above that everybody has a problem with. And we'll talk about this a little bit in detail in just a second, and I'll give you an example of something of what I'm talking about as to why it's so different and why it's a problem. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Yeah, it's interesting, the whole thing. You could go on and on about this for more than 20 minutes. But real quick, we got to give a shout out to AUShirts.com or BuyAuburn.com. Yeah, here we go. Let's do buyauburn.com. Yeah, be who you say you are. Do business with Auburn people everywhere at buyauburn.com. In other words, if you say you're part of the Auburn family and you love the Auburn family, then do business with Auburn people. If you have like a local business and you know someone that has some form of Auburn ties, let them know about buyauburn.com. For example, if you're going to Atlanta for the Auburn Baylor game and you look on buyauburn.com and you see, hey, there is a sports bar that is owned by someone with Auburn ties, that is the place to find it. If you know anybody, tell them about buyauburn.com if they have a local business. It is growing every single day. Kyle can attest to this. He's keeping a close eye on buyauburn.com. It is not just one, two, three businesses, handfuls every single day. So again, you know anyone at or if you know anybody that has a local business, tell them about buyauburn.com if they have any ties to Auburn University. Also, AUShirts.com. Get all your gear from all the shows at the barn. You see some of the options on your screen there. We're adding new styles weekly. Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you get something from AUShirts.com and you're sporting it at home on a game day, at a tailgate, or you get to go into the stadium in Atlanta or in Jordan-Hare Stadium this season, or if you're on the road, be sure to tag me, Graham, Kyle, the barn, or all the above, and let us know that you're sporting your gear from AUShirts.com. We love to shout you out on the show. We're hoping to get a social hour shirt soon on there. I know some people have asked about it, and we're going to make that happen, I hope, soon. But yes, AUShirts.com. Be sure to tag us when you get some gear and support all your favorite shows at the barn with a shirt or a hat or whatever from AUShirts.com.
So I want to interrupt you. I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to start this off this way. So it's kind of a piggyback on what we were just talking about. So let's go back in time for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this was summer of last year. And remember, that's when Auburn started getting kind of kicked in the teeth in recruiting.
Yes.
Because everybody thought we were playing, well, I say everybody, Auburn thought, along with others, you're playing by one set of rules, which was, hey, the only thing that we can promise are rev share numbers, and those numbers are going to be low, and clearly nobody was doing that. So the problem lies is, how can you police, how are you going to be able to police if someone has a $1 million contract, 400 of that is fine and dandy through rev share, and then the other 600 goes through the clearinghouse, justifiable deals that equal up to $600,000. I'll give you an example. Who's the most popular? Arch Manning. Let's take Arch Manning.
Arch Manning.
Arch Manning, if you look at his Instagram following and all of his followers and everything like that, him doing a sponsored post is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Maybe even more than that. He earned that, whether it was, you know, one way or another. Obviously, his name's part of it, but he's obviously a good player as well, and he puts himself out there, and he's just a marketable guy. So, like, if a couple of people or a couple of brands want to come together and give him, you know, $1 million to wear their clothes or use their product, that's going to be the hardest part for the NCAA to be able to be able to handle. I just don't know. I really don't know the answer is. I don't think it's from trying to put your thumb down on it from the government aspect.
Right.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. And that, I told Graham this before, it boils down to the NCAA. All they had to do was just give your players what they're owed, and it got to the point where they put their pinky up in there and kept sipping their tea, and they're like, no, we're good. We're good. And then as soon as that ruling came down, what, 2014, I believe, or 15, whenever that happened, it turned into the Wild West, and it hit like a freight train, and it has not stopped since. And you thought it was crazy to see some people getting some deals, you know, that were worth $1 million. It's like, dang, that's crazy. And now you got people getting paid $5 million, and you're like, goodness gracious. Like, we're approaching, like, I thought it couldn't get any more wild until I think recently there was a guy, you might know his name, Brandon Sorsby, $5 million to play. And how does that work?
1 year.
Yeah. Like, he's not even playing. Like, does he have to pay that back? Like, what?
No, I don't think he gets it. Like, it wasn't going to be like all up
guaranteed
front one,
yeah,
one lump sum. But like, that happens in the NFL too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where guys get injured and they're out for the season. Like, they just don't, they don't not get paid.
Yeah.
Like, let me ask you this, Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Is how do you say something's not worth it? How are you able, if someone's willing to pay it, how are you able to justify saying it's not worth it? So we're saying these kids are overpaid, but are they being overpaid, or is this what the potential was all along for these kids to make? Like, that's a question to ask yourself.
Yeah, that could almost be like a whole nother topic in a way, if you think about it. But like, I feel like just in this day and age, you just don't know. And what I mean by that is, say, I'm just going to use him as an example. We know how good Kim Coleman is. Okay. Like, he has his moments. Granted, he was underutilized, because just that's a whole nother, another topic for another day. We didn't know how good he was. Yes, you saw him in high school, but the jump from high school to college is totally different. And the jump from college to NFL is totally different. So he's getting paid, you know, a whole bunch of money to play college football, and he hadn't even touched the field yet. You know, and it's like, is it worth it or not? And, you know, for the most part, personally, he did some good things, but we didn't win any games. So he wasn't that much of a game changer. You know what I mean?
Did we not win any games because we paid him that much money? Or,
well, no, because you know my stance. We had incompetence on the sideline.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah. So the money aspect, I don't know. I don't know that necessarily had played into like Auburn not winning. So now it's just like, well, just don't pay any people that much money anymore. That's not the case either.
No.
Because this year's roster is going to be more expensive than last year's roster.
Right.
So I think the only way you can't win this, you can't solve this with Congress, you can't solve this with the government. To me, what we have to do, and I've been saying this for months, really ever since this whole thing started, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and be okay with saying college football is no longer. It is now a professional league, and we have to create a professional league with a players association, with collective bargaining, and everybody has to agree to the same rules. And that's how the NFL does it. Everybody signs on, everybody votes, they have a players association representative that battles for them with the NFL to make sure they get the best deals. That's what we are. Kids are going to have to be employees. Like, moving forward, you're employees of the university or employees of whoever owns the football rights, because that's coming. Like, it's not going to be long before.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting on that. That's
not going to be long before these teams have owners. Like, it's not going to be necessarily, it'll be Auburn on the jersey, but is it really the Auburn University team anymore? I think it's just going to be a pro team that has the Auburn uniform on. Now, that's down the road, and there's no way to stop it. Like,
this is why
the NCAA gets a bad name and a bad rep and all this, but like, this was the inevitable end if you opened this box.
Mm-hmm.
And probably why they fought it for so long. Like, there was never going to be a just give them their fair share and they're going to be happy with
right
it. Like, that was never going to be a reality, you know?
No, I mean, not in the hindsight of things.
Yeah,
but at the time it was like I don't know if you remember, I'm going blank on, I think he played for Wisconsin, but his name was like Nigel Hayes. You remember this kid? He played basketball Wisconsin, and there was a picture of him sitting with a cardboard, like a piece of cardboard that was like, you know, the NCAA won't pay for my food, can someone help me buy lunch today. And it's like he was the star player for the Wisconsin Badgers back in 2015, 2016. And it's just like, you know, that is, I don't know. And I get at the time it was a different time. I get that. But when someone like that is your star player and he's being treated like trash, surely to God that the university would be like, yeah, here's a couple hundred dollars to help you survive for, you know, the next three months or how, you know what I mean?
That's extreme. Those kids are not starving.
Well, you know what I mean. I don't know his situation, but you know what I'm saying. It wasn't a good look at the time. And now looking back, it's like if he were in this era, he would have been fine. But I don't know. It always pops up in my head whenever, you know, I keep seeing, you know, people like Arch Manning, you know, sign another brand deal with Celsius or something like that. And it's like if Nigel had that opportunity, he would not be sitting on a curb with a piece of cardboard saying, hey, I need help paying for my lunch.
Oh, is that now or is that when he was in college?
You talking about Nigel?
Yeah.
That was when he was in college.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
I mean, he had lunch. I'm just kidding. Now, he couldn't have a $1,000 lunch.
No. I mean,
they had lunch.
Yeah.
They had access to stuff. Like, I don't want to pretend like all these guys were hobos. They were homeless. You know what I mean? Like, living in tents outside of the stadium. Like, no, it was a college. That's because it was college. It was not, they weren't employees. But, and that's fine. But now what we've done is we've opened the bag, and now it's the only solution is to nuke. Well, it's already nuked, but like admit that it's nuked. Yeah. College sports are done. It's pro sports now, and you got to figure out how to put it into a league, or it's going to continue to be this. And you can't Congress, Senate, bill. You can't law your way out of it.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Two questions for you, and then we'll wrap it up. Because it you know, you're talking about the owners. You know, like if Auburn was, who do you think that would be owned by?
Ooh, like who would buy Auburn?
Mm-hmm. Would it be like Yellowwood? You think Jimmy?
No, I think it's a little bit too, that'd be something a little bit too big, and he's older. So I would imagine it would be somebody, you know, maybe a little bit like a younger company that's. They all seem to be like financial or marketing or insurance. Like they all kind of seem to be along those lines, like all these companies. But actually, that's just naming rights. I guess the owner, because then they'd be selling the naming rights.
Right.
I guess it could be him or like a collective group of guys.
Yeah. And then like, I don't know. That's just like a weird thought to have, having an owner for Auburn. Or like, could you imagine, like, I don't know who a prominent figure is, and I'm going blank right now for Alabama, but like, could you imagine that, just having like ownership, like, you know, you see on the
for profit,
like so and so is sold, you know, is putting the Auburn Tigers up for sale, like, what is that? That's crazy to think about.
And how much do you sell it for?
Well, if you start winning games, it'll be worth a lot more.
dude, it's not. I don't think that's very far off.
It's a scary thought. It's a really scary thought. A little bit. Yeah, because I like college sports how it is, but like you said, it's pretty much gone now.
There is no how it is anymore. Like college sports in 2016 doesn't exist anymore.
Which is crazy. The fact that 10 years ago.
That product does not exist anymore. And it never will exist again.
That's crazy.
Unless the only way it could exist is if you go way, way back, and it becomes like all these schools become club sports, and then they have to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically for the love of the game. There's still going to be people trying to profit off of it, though. So I just think you can't save it. So you got to look yourself in the mirror and just say, let's sit down and come up with a real league and make this thing work. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels, I think.
Yeah, and then that's where the second question comes in. With the playoff, it seems like every freaking offseason, we need to expand the playoff. We need to expand the playoff. I feel like we're getting to the point where the regular season is about to just be, because I know they're already talking about conference games being irrelevant, which I don't know. I like the conference games because it's a sense of pride for, again, that's just the old school college, though. That's the problem. But do you think we'll get to a point where the regular season will even be a thing? It'll just be like we immediately go into like a tournament for the national championship, and that's the quote-unquote season.
No, I mean, the NFL has 32 teams, and I think 14 make the playoffs. So that's almost half of the teams make the playoffs. I think eventually you'll probably get to somewhere around, if they actually do what they're supposed, like do what they should do, you get about 64 teams and have a 16-team playoff, and I think that's fine. And you'll be done. And if they do it like they said they'll do it, you'll be done by New Year. You'll be done around New Year's, which is not that bad at all.
No, yeah, because I
don't think you go past 16.
No, I don't think you do either. I know people are wanting a 24-team playoff. I'm like, then what's the point of the like, you could lose three or four regular season games and still somehow make it, which is the case in the NFL. I mean, you know, you got teams that are 9-4 making an end of the playoff.
Wild
you know,
cards that are a foot in the NFL playoffs are the best, one of the best, you know, playoffs as far as ratings go out there. I don't think college football would be much different.
No, no, it's just that there's so many more teams. You know what I mean?
There's like, just more teams. You can't do it. Yeah, you can't go like 30-team playoff or 64 for football, but 16 would be completely doable, and I think it would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not against a, you know, bigger playoff. I don't know. It just seems like every year it's like, hey, we got to expand it again. Why? Because so-and-so didn't make it. Okay. And then the following year, hey, Tulsa missed out on it. It's like, cool. Like, it's Tulsa. At the end of, you know, I don't know. But – yeah, at the end of the day, it's weird to see. And when I heard it on the radio initially on my way home today, I was like, what do you mean Auburn and Alabama?
I know, I can't quite get over that. I don't like it anyway, just because they agree.
No, I'm probably going to have hot sweats in the middle of the night. Like my pillow will be hot on both sides. That's how bad it's going to be sleeping tonight thinking about this. But be sure to subscribe, follow us anywhere you listen to your podcast, whether it be YouTube, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to it. Be sure to hit that follow button, turn on notifications so you don't miss anything from us. And be sure to check out Charlie Five's show, Top Button Podcast, every morning, every morning. And be sure to check out the Social Hour every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. But yeah, other than that, I don't have anything else. You got anything?
Let's get out of here.
Cool. Well, everyone have a great rest of your Monday. Team USA plays tonight. Big game tonight. What do you think, real quick? You saw the drama with the red card being – they're probably playing right now, by the way. But that whole drama with the red card is cracking me up.
So funny.
Like the fact that
And people are letting politics destroy their mind.
And it made me laugh that, like – he had nothing to do with it. He was just calling to see how the process. It's like me calling you, be like, "Hey, how's you know this going?" You know, that's all he was doing, was checking. Everyone's like, "Oh, he's the one that swung the pendulum to get the red card." No, no, it's not. The president had nothing to do with it. But yeah, I thought that was funny.
He thinks he did.
Well, of course. Oh man, that his interviewer, he was like, "I saw it. It was honestly a bunch of BS.
It was a terrible call. Nobody wants to talk about the terrible call."
Oh man, but yeah, let's get out of here. But again, as always, thank you guys for watching, and we will see you next time on the Barnes Social Hour. As always, War Damn. We'll see you next time.